and caught her off guard, breaking her concentration. Shaking, she breathed and moaned through the excruciating pain. Once it passed, she took yet more of the vortex's energy, seeking out the bridge between her wings and the flames. And there it was.
"You do think the child will save itself, don't you?"
Weiner pushed. Harper glared at him, smiling inside as the ground began to shake.
"No, I don't."
The air buzzed and thickened with power.
"I think it will kill you all."
Flames exploded out of the ground in front of her, red, black, gold, and hungry. They devoured Linda whole, and Harper couldn't help feeling immense satisfaction in the bitch's screams. Yeah, maybe the vortex's energy had fed her vengeful streak a little. The unbearable heat radiating from the flames burned Harper's skin, but they left no blisters. Despite their strength and power, they wouldn't harm her. Instead of spreading, as she'd hoped, the flames returned to where they came, leaving only ashes behind. Shit! It was hard to concentrate while battling with panic, pain, and rage. Head still pounding, Harper infused hellfire into the grass, making the enchanted vines restraining her wrists catch fire. They released her with an animal-like squeak, and she sat up and did the same to the vines restraining her ankles. Finally free, she forced herself to get to her knees. The others were all staring at her in horror. No, at her belly in horror.
"It was the child!" Jumpy cried out. "It called the flames!" "We're leaving!" declared Nora. "Get her!"
Weiner frowned.
"But we didn't go through all this to leave her here," Nora hissed. "She comes with us."
Harper struggled to her feet and waited, ready to make her move. Her last reserve of the vortex's energy strained against her skin, wanting freedom, wanting violence. Dark, revolting images flashed in her mind. Images of all the things Harper could do to the people around her. Images that both tempted and sickened her. She shook her head, needing to think clearly. Her heart jumped as Nora lowered the enchanted vines that surrounded the boulders.
"Yes, that's it, bitch. Send your little helpers this way."
As two robed figures raced toward her, Harper called to the... Pain thundered through her womb, sending her to her knees once more.
"Mother of goddamn holy fuck!"
The incanters reached her, and fingers dug into her arms.
"No!"
A blast of energy swept out of her body, a beautiful gold sheen of light, and knocked every single incantor to the ground. Harper's mouth fell open, and she got to her feet once more.
"Oh, little baby, you're gonna be a handful."
Because Harper had not done that. That familiar, dreaded, droning sound filled the air again, making everyone freeze. A portal burst to life, and several figures stepped out of it. The sight of the dark demon leading them, danger in every line of his body, made her knees shake.
"Nox!"
Harper breathed in relief. A sob almost choked her. He looked at her, his eyes fevered and glittering with rage. They softened with relief for the briefest moment, then his body jerked as his eyes abruptly bled to black, like the demon had forced its way to the surface. It stared at her, and then she could almost feel its soul-eating rage from there. The incantors must have felt it too, but they didn't act. They stayed frozen, like prey hoping not to catch a predator's attention. A buzz vibrated the air, and her stomach churned. She knew what was coming. It wasn't like when Harper called to the flames of hell.
That buzz was the power gathering as it came to her. For Nox, the power lived inside him. The demon was simply letting it free. A tremor rumbled through the ground, and she planted her feet. The power purred against her bare skin. The force of it burned her eyes, rattled her teeth, tightened her chest, and caused a low ringing sound to blare in her ears. As the air seemed to pinken, she looked up, unsurprised to find that the moon behind the frothing, ugly cloud was now blood red. She jumped as flames burst from the ground with a roar. They didn't devour the incantors. No, the blinding, tri-colored, 10-foot-high flames swirled around Nox's demon, engulfing it. They hissed, crackled, and spat as they danced and swayed, wild and angry, meaning that the demon was wild and angry. Her heart raced as a figure of raging flames stepped out of the fire. No eyes, no facial features, no clothes, just flames. Nox was gone. The archdemon had come out to play. Shit! That was when the incantors seemed to snap out of their shock, hit by their fight-or-flight instinct. And they fled. The ragged line of fire headed straight for the running incantors, leaving a trail of ashes in its wake. Hell, she'd never have thought that Nora could run that fast. The archdemon followed the incantors, its movements almost mechanical. The sentinels then raced over to her, Tanner in the lead.
Fuck, Harper. You look like shit.
He curled an arm around her, helping to take her weight. It was a good thing, because a contraction hit her so hard, her legs almost gave out. Her moans were barely heard over the screams of pain and terror coming from the incantors. She gripped Levi's arm.
I am so fucking glad you're all here, even if our archdemon has lost its shit.
She winced at a high-pitched screech. A gold flame had hooked around the neck of a fleeing incantor and tossed him into the fire. At the same time, a black flame circled Whiner, cutting off his retreat and trapping him. He screamed from the searing heat alone, and she could imagine how his skin would be blistering and eating away at itself. Keenan whistled as a third flame wrapped around Jumpy's body and slammed him into the ground once, twice, three times. There was a nauseating crack, and the incantor's cries died abruptly. The archdemon could have killed them all outright, but it was toying with them first.
Where's Nora?
But then Harper saw her gripping a boulder, screaming as a red flame repeatedly lashed her. At any other time, Harper would have marched over there and dealt with the bitch herself. Right then, she could barely stand on her own. She groaned through her teeth as another spasm assailed her womb.
I am not having this baby here!
Keenan scratched his nape.
I don't think leaving here is going to happen anytime soon.
No, neither did Harper. The archdemon was out of control, drunk on power. She knew exactly how that felt, because her own demon had experienced the same intoxicating, invigorating high. No demon came down from that easily, especially not one on a warpath. As for an archdemon on a warpath, well, that was a whole other thing, and she wasn't equipped to talk it down. It had a habit of developing tunnel vision when it thought she needed avenging. She'd managed to talk it down once in the past, but not before an entire building and a bunch of dark practitioners were destroyed. Hell, it had almost killed Tanner and Larkin that night, too set on getting to Harper and slaughtering those who'd taken her from it to really think. It couldn't happen again. It... Harper froze at the familiar droning sound. Fuck! She spun to see that Nora had opened another portal and was reaching out to it with one hand.
Oh, God! She's gonna get away.
No, she won't,
Levi growled. He flicked a hand, and Nora's head suddenly slammed against the boulder. The portal disappeared with a pop. Harper released a sigh of relief. She'd forgotten the Reaper had a telekinetic ability.
Thank you, Lee.
She cut off as she spotted the archdemon walking toward Nora. She was the only incantor still alive, Harper then realized. The flame whipping Nora paused. Like a snake, it slithered up her body and contracted around her. Then it dived down her throat. Eyes bulging, she choked and jerked as more and more of the flame shoved its way inside her, no doubt searing, burning, and consuming everything it touched. Agony blazed in her amber eyes, and her face scrunched up into a silent scream. But Harper had no pity for her. None at all. And when Nora's body spontaneously combusted, Harper's demon grinned with pleasure and satisfaction. She let out a long breath. It was over. They were all dead. The fire hadn't died, though, she realized with a frown. No, it was still blazing, fierce and furious. It was also spreading along the landscape, consuming the gnarled trees and frail shrubs. The mist was gone, and now heat waves shimmered in the air. The archdemon turned away, apparently not done playing.
Stop! Harper shouted. They're dead! Thank you. They're gone. I need Nox right now. Let him come to me.
But it didn't. The demon walked away. The vortex was feeding its anger and ill intent, she realized, and that was not at all good.
We need to get Nox away from here. This place...
I know. I feel it, said Levi. But getting the demon to leave will be a big fucking job, and I don't think you're up to it right now.
He was right, but...
I have to be, Harper sighed. I guess I'm gonna have to fight fire with fire.
Larkin stilled.
What?
Locking down on all of her out-of-control emotions, Harper used the last of the dark energy within her to tap into her link to her wings. As Nox had taught her, she used it as a bridge. And she called to the power waiting on the other end of it. The ground trembled and the air buzzed as, at Harper's will, flames of hell sprouted out of the ground in front of the archdemon. They acted as a barrier, got its attention. The demon tried to lower them, but it couldn't, because these flames were answering to her, not the entity. It slowly and stiffly turned to face her. Although there were no eyes, she felt it looking right at her. It knew what she'd done, and it wasn't happy with her. Then it stalked toward her, and she lowered the flames before her panic could send them out of control.
Harper, get behind me,
said Tanner. She resisted his attempts to move her and instead stepped aside, putting a little distance between them, hoping another contraction wouldn't make her double over.
Don't be stupid. If it thinks you're trying to keep it from its mate, it'll hurt you, sentinel or not.
Tanner growled.
And what if it hurts you, huh?
It won't.
Ordinarily, no, it wouldn't. But this place is feeding its anger and warping its mind. Right now, it's got vengeance on the brain and you just pissed it off. What if it now wants vengeance against you?
Harper swallowed.
Then we're all fucked.
She put up a hand as the demon came close.
You need to stop.
It didn't. She touched its psyche and felt only a blinding rage. Shit. Her heart started pumping even crazier than before, and her inner demon began to panic. The entity was almost on her, and... A shower of embers, sparks, and ashes burst to life in front of her, almost like a shield. It popped and snapped and made Harper's face go slack.
"How the hell are you doing that?" asked Keenan.
"I'm not," said Harper in a stunned whisper. The archdemon didn't seem impressed. It punched through the shield, and there was a harsh, sizzling sound like hellfire eating flesh. But the entity didn't pull back, apparently not bothered about a little pain. The embers and sparks winked away, and the ashes disintegrated. Then the demon's hand snapped tight around her throat. The sentinels lunged for her, but a wall of flames abruptly shot out of the ground to surround her, pushing them back and blocking their access to her. Harper grabbed onto its flaming wrist, hissing at the burning heat, although it didn't hurt her. She tried to free herself, but the demon didn't even loosen its grip.
"If you kill me," she managed to wheeze out, "you'll kill the baby. I know the baby matters to you."
Blinding pain rushed out of its hand and filled every part of her. She screamed. She sobbed. She begged it to stop. It didn't. It kept on flooding her with white-hot pain. As she waited for death to come, she silently apologized to the baby for being unable to protect it, for trusting this demon she apparently never should have trusted. Her skin felt cold, wet. Blood, she thought. The demon was somehow making her blood seep out of her pores. But she didn't smell blood. No, she smelled decay, rot, sickness. Harper looked at her arms, realized black liquid was bubbling out of her skin, and she understood. It wasn't attacking her. It was attacking the dark magic that had infected her. She hadn't thought there was any chance that the demon could help. It wasn't built to heal. But this wasn't healing. This was destroying magic. The side effect was that she was healing. Gradually the pain dimmed, and she let out a shaky breath. The fire started to peel away from the demon, starting from its head. But the eyes were black. The entity was still very much in control. The hand collaring her throat pulled her close, thumb circling her neck.
"Mine."
It kissed her hard, inhaling her scent, and then the hold on her throat gentled, and she knew Nox was back. His hands cradled her face.
"Baby."
Using his thumbs, Nox brushed the tears from her cheeks. He was about to tell her how sorry he was, that he knew he'd fucked up and he'd make it up to her. But then she sucked in a breath and doubled over. He supported her weight as she breathed through the contraction. Once it finally eased away, she fisted his shirt and yanked.
"You need to get me away from here, Thorn. This baby's coming, whether we like it or not."
"I can see that."
Nox scooped her up.
"Go through the portal," he told the sentinels. "Tell Jolene and the others that she's fine so they don't lose their minds."
"What do we tell them when they ask how you got out of here?" asked Keenan.
"Tell them I made one of the incantors open a second portal that leads straight to my home right before I killed them. I don't care. I'm taking her straight home."
Harper watched as, with nothing more than a single sweep of his gaze, the fire began to calm and thin out. Still, she knew it would look much like a strip of dead, blackened land. Golden flames built around them, licking over her skin without harming her. Soon the fire faded, and they were in their living room. Everything was set up, ready. Plastic sheeting and old towels and bedsheets were all laid out. Blankets and clean, warm towels were set aside, along with Dr. Rogers' bag. There was even an incubator in the event that the baby might need it, and that made her feel slightly better. Meg literally dived at her, hugging her and muttering in Spanish. Swiping a tear from under her eye, she stepped back and Rogers came forward.
"Harper, Knox, this is my mate, Sharon," he said. "She's a midwife, and she's here to help."
Harper forced a smile for the curvy brunette.
"Shame we had to meet for the first time under these circumstances."
Knox carefully positioned Harper on the covered floor, and her hand shot out in a panic to grab his own.
"I'm right here, baby. I'm not leaving your side," he vowed.
As the doctor and midwife examined her, Knox kept his focus solely on Harper. He'd wanted to be with her every step of the way, and he was going to make up for the fact that he so far hadn't been. He'd keep his fears and concerns to himself. This was all about her.
"I wouldn't bother with the heating pad or anything, Meg," said Rogers. "The baby's crowning already."
Seeing fear glimmer in Harper's eyes, Knox squeezed her hand.
"Just think, we'll finally see the baby soon. You'll finally know if it's a girl or a boy. I know that's been driving you crazy."
Her mouth quirked, and just the sight lightened the guilt weighing on his shoulders.
He might be pissed at himself, but she wasn't pissed at him.
"It's been driving you insane, too. Admit—"
Harper cut off with a moan as a contraction seemed to slam into her womb. She hadn't thought the pain could get any worse. She'd been wrong.
"Once the baby's in your arms, you'll forget all about the pain," Sharon promised. "Now, get ready. We're going to need you to start pushing in a few moments."
As soon as the next contraction began, Sharon said,
"Okay, push."
Harper pushed. Nothing happened. As time went on and the pushing achieved jack shit, she clung to Knox's hand, so fucking glad he was there, and so fucking surprised she hadn't crushed any of the bones in his hand. Even at home, away from danger, she felt completely out of her element, utterly out of control. His touch was strong and reassuring. His words were encouraging and supportive, and his presence was calming and made her feel safe. She needed that right then, needed the way he squeezed her hand, rubbed her back, whispered in her ear, and didn't complain when she dug her nails into his skin. Drained, she sagged against him.
"I can't do this anymore. I just can't."
She'd pushed and pushed, but nothing was happening. He kissed her temple.
"You are doing it, baby. I'm watching you do it, and I'm proud of you."
He smoothed her hair away from her face.
"I know you're tired, but you're doing great."
Turning to Sharon, Knox scowled.
"Should she really be in this much pain? And should it really be taking so long?"
Sharon gave him a pitying look.
"Sweetie, it ain't called labor for nothing."
Rogers smiled at Harper.
"Just visualize your cervix opening like a flower."
"Stop! Just stop!" Harper snapped. He'd done nothing but make dumb and often wildly inappropriate comments until he'd lost all credibility to her. It was just her luck that she'd end up with a doctor who used humor to get himself through tricky situations. Another contraction came, and she dug her fingers into Knox's arm.
"Okay, Harper, time to push again," Sharon declared.
Harper pushed. There was a loud farting sound. Her mouth dropped open in mortification, but then Rogers gave her a sheepish look and said,
"Sorry about that. I had chicken korma before I came."
Unable to deal with him right then, Harper held up her hand.
"You
are not here. You're just not.
Sharon chuckled. Ignore him, honey. I do it all the time.
Harper did exactly that, concentrating on pushing and breathing, while Knox whispered encouragements in her ear and told her he loved her. And when Rogers announced that one more push would do it, Harper's heart skipped a beat. Still, she pushed. Hard. With what even she could admit was a blood-curdling scream, the baby's head was out. It took just one more push for the rest of the baby to come out. And there it was. Rogers grinned.
You have a baby boy. Congratulations.
Awe and wonder crept over Harper, and her throat seemed to close over. Still, she somehow managed to ask,
Why isn't he crying?
Oh, he will, said Sharon. Don't doubt it.
After the cord was cut, Rogers took the baby aside, checked him over, and then, yep, the baby started bawling. As Sharon covered Harper up, Rogers gently rested the baby on her chest with a little blanket and said,
He's fine. 10 fingers, 10 toes, and he has a big set of lungs on him. Good luck with that.
Harper's heart stuttered and her chest clenched. To others, he probably looked like a prune. To her, he was the most beautiful, perfect thing she'd ever seen. She spoke in a low, soothing voice.
Hey there. You're here, she marveled. And you're a boy.
He was familiar in the strangest way. She smiled at Knox.
Can you believe we made this little person?
Knox gently pressed a kiss on the baby's head, and then pressed another on Harper's temple. Looking at them, an overwhelming sense of pride flooded him. There was also a deep sense of relief. Harper was fine. The baby was fine.
You're both amazing, he said a little gruffly.
You okay?
Okay? He was overwhelmed. Had no words. It all seemed to have happened so fast that it was surreal for Knox. It was hard to absorb the reality that the baby was finally here. But he didn't need to tell her that. She knew him well enough to understand, and gave him a knowing smile.
I get it, said Harper.
The way she was feeling right then, it was hard to describe, hard to even process. She had a lot of emotional chaos going on in her mind. Even her demon was a little off balance, though it was also proud as punch. Gently, she shifted the baby towards him.
Have a hold.
Knox tensed. Very few things had ever made him feel nervous. But holding a baby? Yeah, that did it. She smiled.
You're a badass. You can manage.
She wasn't the least bit surprised that Knox scooped up and cradled the baby as effortlessly as he did everything else. No awkwardness or fiddling. He was the most competent person she'd ever known. The baby immediately stopped fussing, to her amusement, and looked up at Knox, seeming fascinated by him, which meant she and the baby already had something in common.
Awesome.
He's so small, said Knox.
Tiny, vulnerable. His demon settled inside him, content now that the only people that it considered important to it were fine.
He is small, Harper agreed. Like a little doll.
The baby's tiny fingers clasped one of his, and every line in Knox's face smoothed out. And Harper was pretty sure she'd just watched Knox Thorne fall instantly in love.
Chapter 21 Harper woke up the next morning to see Knox in the rocking chair that had been placed beside their bed, gently rubbing the back of the swaddled, sleeping baby resting on his chest. And her heart just melted. Yep, right into a puddle of goo. Eyes of dark velvet met hers, and Knox smiled. There was pride, contentment, and peace there.
"Morning, baby," he said quietly. "How are you feeling?"
She sat up as she took stock of herself.
"Good, all things considered."
A little sore, but she knew that wouldn't last long, since demons healed fast.
"Tell me I didn't sleep through him waking up for a feed."
Knox shook his head.
"You've both been asleep for a long while."
Which was no doubt why she no longer felt drained, she thought. Demons didn't need much sleep, after all.
"You literally dropped to sleep like you'd been dealt a blow to the jaw,"
Knox told her, unable to hide the amusement from his voice. He hadn't initially found it amusing, though.
"I was worried at first, but then I figured it wasn't such a surprise, given that you'd not only been through labor, but were probably psychically exhausted after using your gifts."
Harper nodded.
"Psychic burnout is never fun."
She'd fed the baby shortly after he was born, though it had taken a little work since he'd simply refused to cooperate and suckle. And no sooner had Knox taken him to have another hold than Harper lost the battle she'd been fighting against the need for sleep. Standing, Knox said,
"Shuffle over."
Once she did so, he slid onto the bed beside her, careful not to jostle the baby. Unable to get rid of the silly grin on her face, Harper shifted his little hat slightly just to press a quick kiss to his downy head. His hair was as dark and silky as Knox's was, to her utter delight. She inhaled deeply, taking in his baby-fresh, sweet scent. Few things smelled better than a newborn baby, she thought. It made her want to gobble him up.
"Where's mine?"
Knox asked, mouth curved.
"Right here,"
whispered Harper before giving him a soft, lingering kiss that he quickly took over, deepening it, yet keeping it gentle and almost reverent. Pulling back, Knox curled her hair behind her ear and stroked his thumb over her cheekbone.
"I needed that."
Moving the baby from his shoulder to his chest so that she could see his little face, Knox said,
"You do realize that we still haven't settled on a name for him yet, don't you?"
"There was only one name we agreed on, remember? That name still good for you?"
"Yeah."
Knox looked down at their son.
"He looks like an Asher."
Harper nodded. "Then Asher Knox Thorne it is."
"Damn. He's just you, with a lot less hair."
The resemblance was clear to see, Knox thought. And that only fed the pride he felt each time he looked at Asher.
"I still hope he has your eyes."
"Then you're an idiot."
Knox shot her a mock glare.
"Your eyes are unique and beautiful."
"They're a pain in my ass. That's what they are."
She stilled as Asher shifted, but he didn't wake. Knox sighed.
"He keeps pulling his knees up and trying to curl into a ball."
"Like he's still in the womb."
Harper stretched, yawning.
"I really need coffee. And food."
"I told Meg that you're awake. She'll bring us breakfast soon, and formula for Asher, since it's likely he'll wake up soon, too. While we wait, you can tell me what happened yesterday."
Her stomach plummeted.
"Do we have to talk about it?"
He breezed his thumb along her jaw.
"I need to know, baby. I can understand why you wouldn't want to talk about it, but
Not knowing is driving you crazy. I get it.
I know a little from Macaulay.
He quickly relayed the child's version of events to her.
I need to hear the rest.
Okay. So, she told him how Nora had taken her, and how Linda had then stayed inside the circle with her while the incantors chanted, infecting her with magic and inducing labor. Nora wasn't working with the other horsemen. She said they wanted to lie low for a while. Unfortunately, that was all she said about them. I got the feeling she didn't want the attention being taken from her. Harper cocked her head. How did you get to me?
Thatcher reopened the portal.
She blinked. Thatcher?
I didn't like accepting his help. For all I knew, he was stalling for Nora. That was why I had Levi contact his incantor friend.
She said that Thatcher was doing exactly what she would have done, only he was doing it faster, so I didn't interfere, and just hoped to God he wasn't playing me. It was the fear in her telepathic voice that had made Knox take the chance. He hadn't been able to bear it. So you no longer suspect him of being one of the horsemen?
I didn't say that. I'll never dismiss any of them as potential suspects. Not when that would put you and Asher at risk. Did Linda happen to tell you why she helped Nora?
Harper took a moment to gaze at her son again before answering. She promised Linda she could have Asher. As you know, all Linda wanted was a child. Knox frowned.
I don't think Nora would have handed him over to anyone.
Neither do I. Harper fiddled with her rings. I said as much to Linda, but she didn't listen. So I killed her, she added, a little too cheerfully. Knox chuckled.
I'm jealous.
Hey, you got to kill Nora, remember?
No, my demon did.
He exhaled heavily.
I was really hoping it wouldn't kill her. She could have told us who the last horseman is.
She wouldn't have told, said Harper. And honestly, I wouldn't have wanted to let her live. She was too powerful. I would have worried that she might escape, especially since it's highly likely that she was able to help Crow escape your prison. Knox rubbed her thigh.
Then I'm glad she's gone, so you don't have to waste another thought on her.
So was Harper. Does Wyatt know about Linda yet?
He knows that she's dead and that she was working with Nora to some extent, but he doesn't know the full story yet. He will soon. Keenan and Larkin will pay him a visit later today.
On the one hand, I feel bad for him. It's going to be hard for him to accept that his partner pretty much betrayed us all, but he betrayed her first. Talia was one of the people he cheated on Linda with.
And yet she wanted Macaulay?
Knox asked, incredulous. She wanted a kid. Harper lightly stroked Asher's leg over his fleecy white blanket. How was Macaulay when you last saw him?
Same as always, but he seemed glad to get back to Elena. I think he'll settle there.
Good. He might be weird and creepy, and it's true that his demon sent him to warn me for selfish reasons, but he still helped you work out what was happening. Knox nodded, slightly distracted by how stiffly she was moving.
How sore are you?
Not as sore as I thought I'd be.
Maybe that's because you weren't in labor for very long. According to Sharon, first pregnancies usually... Why do you have an odd look on your face?
But she didn't answer him.
Harper,
he prodded. Okay, she relented. Harper hadn't wanted to tell him this, but she didn't like keeping things from him. Time was different there.
Knox narrowed his eyes. Different
How?
A minute to you was an hour to me.
He quickly calculated the time in his head.
You went through that agony for over 15 hours on your own? You were trapped there all that time?
She took his hand and squeezed it.
I knew you'd come.
Knox swore under his breath.
I hate that you went through most of the labor alone. Linda might have been there, but she doesn't fucking count.
He clenched his jaw.
I hate that I wasn't there for you.
Leaning forward, she rubbed her nose against his.
Don't go beating yourself up about it, Knox. It wasn't your fault. I wish you had been there, because I feel like you were robbed of the experience. But most guys will tell you that the labor itself is pretty boring anyway.
Hoping to shift his mood, she quickly added,
On another note, we're gonna have our work cut out with this kid. He protected me.
A faint smile played around the edges of Knox's mouth, to her relief.
Yes, I remember the shield that slammed up in front of my demon when I tried to get to you. I wasn't sure if it was really Asher, though.
Oh, it was definitely him. Your demon knew he'd be powerful, didn't it?
It would seem so.
His demon still wasn't being very upfront about it. He rubbed her thigh again.
Baby, about my demon. About what it did to you.
Don't you apologize for it. The pain it inflicted was necessary to make sure I lived, just like all that labor pain was necessary for Asher to be born.
Intellectually, I know that.
Linking his fingers through hers, Knox kissed her hand.
I wish I could say my demon feels bad about it, but it doesn't.
Of course it doesn't. Our inner demons feel no guilt.
It does wish you were spared the pain, but it doesn't regret what it did.
Neither do I, she said truthfully. Just like I don't regret absorbing the vortex's energy to help me use my gifts, which, incidentally, also helped Asher to use his. It was a risk, but I had to take it. I was out of options. Things might have ended very, very differently if I hadn't done what I did.
You think I'd ever blame you for that? You did what you had to do.
And so did your demon, she pointed out.
Knox opened his mouth to say something else, but then his brows snapped together, and she sensed him speaking to someone telepathically.
What is it? She asked.
Meg told the sentinels that you're awake. They're asking if they can come up here.
Harper blinked.
They're downstairs?
They camped out in the living room with Jolene and the girls.
I shouldn't be surprised. Have they seen Asher yet?
No. We both stayed here with you.
Knox hadn't wanted her out of his sight. Probably wouldn't for a while, he thought.
Honestly, I figured he'd wake after a few hours. Maybe he psychically tired himself out trying to protect you.
Harper bit her lip, nauseous all of a sudden.
I don't like that idea.
He'll be fine. He is fine.
How's your demon doing?
Fascinated by Asher. And it's no longer stressing now that you're awake, which is good. What about yours?
It seriously adores the sight of you holding Asher.
His mouth curved, but then he sighed again.
Apparently, your grandmother woke up and is now also pushing to see you.
Harper rolled her eyes.
I need to use the bathroom and stuff, then they can come in.
After she'd done her business, Knox curled an arm around her waist and brought her to sit on his lap on the chair, careful not to jar Asher.
Thank you for giving me my son.
The wealth of possession in his voice made her smile.
Thank you for giving him to me.
You were amazing yesterday.
I'm fucking proud of you. You went through a lot for the three of us to be right where we are now. I love you, baby.
She brushed her mouth against his. And I love you.
At the knock on the door, she let out a long breath. Brace yourself.
Getting back into bed, she propped herself up against the headboard. She held her arms out for Asher, wanting to have a little hold before they came in and took him. But Knuckles again rapped on the door, this time impatiently. Knox opened it wide, still holding Asher. Jolene entered first and literally melted as she got a good look at the baby.
Knox, he's just you with a lot less hair.
Harper smiled.
That's what I said.
Jolene wasted no time in taking Asher from him and, nuzzling his head, then made a beeline for Harper. She kissed her hair.
You did good, sweetheart. He's beautiful. Does he have a name yet?
Asher,
Knox told her.
Asher, Rainey echoed as she walked in. I like that.
Very appropriate, all things considered,
said Levi, no doubt remembering the shield of Ember's sparks and ashes. Everyone filed in, kissing Asher's head and then giving Harper a brief hug, but none succeeded at getting their hands on the baby. Jolene was determined to have her moment with him.
He smells so good, said Chloe.
I hope you know that male sphinxes are a handful, Jolene told Knox. Worse than girls. Hopefully he won't share Harper's ability to infuse hellfire into things. She ruined at least three sofas and once set fire to her own cradle because she wanted out. That's not counting the time she burned her way through the safety straps of her stroller, car seat, and high chair. Really, I pity you if Asher has that ability.
He's powerful, said Devon. I can feel it.
Tanner nodded.
We had a peek at the kid in action.
He briefly described what happened. Jolene grinned, proud.
He's definitely a Wallace.
Knox's jaw clenched.
He's a Thorn.
Jolene waved that away, as if the surname were a mere technicality.
You know what I mean. Oh, he's waking up. Well, hello there.
As a unit, everyone crowded around Jolene, whispering and cooing at Asher, all the while ignoring Jolene's glowers. Harper smiled as Asher's mind slid against hers. It was a questioning touch, like he was wondering where she was. She gave his mind a reassuring stroke.
This kid is going to be demanding.
Knox raised a brow.
You expected anything else?
She shook her head. No, not at all.
Grams, stop hugging him,
Chloe complained. With a huff, Jolene passed him to Chloe. Soon the baby was passed around from person to person.
His demon just surfaced and took my measure, said Keenan, grinning.
I think I passed my assessment, because it retreated.
Taking Asher from the incubus, Rainey turned to Harper as she stroked her finger over Asher's cheek.
Does he look like the baby in those dreams you told me about?
No, Harper replied. Those weren't premonitions. Those were my subconscious telling me to wake the fuck up and realize I was pregnant.
He's so tiny, said Devon.
He didn't need an incubator? Knox shook his head.
Rogers thought he might, since he was born early, but he's kept up his own body temperature just fine.
Of course he has, said Jolene.
He's a Wallace. Knox glared at her.
He's a Thorn.
Jolene again waved that away.
How much does he weigh? Asher Knox Thorne made his grand entrance weighing 5 pounds, 2 ounces, which isn't bad at all for a premature baby, said Harper.
Not bad at all, agreed Jolene.
Well, Harper, how does it feel to be a mom?
Harper couldn't help but smile.
Like everything's right in the world.
Knox took her hand.
Everything is right. I'm hoping he'll have Harper's eyes.
She sighed at him.
Knox, why do you hate our son?
Jolene scowled at her.
There's nothing wrong with your eyes. They're beautiful.
That's what I said,
said Knox. Harper shook her head.
Forget it. How about we just... Oh, God, no.
Knox frowned.
What?
He tracked her gaze and could only sigh. In the doorway, Lou thrust his arms up in the air.
We have ourselves a baby.
Stalking forward, he pushed through the crowd until he reached Rainey, who was still holding Asher.
Girl? Boy?
Boy,
Rainey told him. He turned to Knox and raised his hand.
Hey, up high.
Well, hello, Lou,
Jolene said from behind him. Lou's mouth tightened and he dropped his arm.
I'm still not talking to you, evil woman.
Jolene rolled her eyes.
You really need to stop holding grudges. Besides, taking things personally when you're dealing with an imp is utterly pointless and
la 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 la, deaf ears.
Harper just looked at him.
I can't imagine what a joy it must be up there in your head.
Lou stroked Asher's cheek.
Hey, little guy.
You remember your Uncle Lou, don't you?
Of course you do. Who'd ever forget me?
He peered at Harper.
I don't suppose you did the right thing and named him Lucifer.
His name is Asher,
Knox told him. Surprisingly, Lou grinned.
I like that. It's a good name for a boy who might one day decimate the universe.
His demon is taking my measure.
He held his arms out.
I want a little hold.
But Rainey frowned.
Just let him have a hold, said Knox with a sigh. It's the fastest way to make him leave.
Lou's grin widened.
I always feel so welcome here.
He carefully cradled the baby.
You look just like your daddy.
Yes, you do.
But don't be upset. We all have crosses to bear.
Don't think I won't hurt you, said Harper.
Lou's brows drew together.
I was comforting him.
You were being an ass.
And this surprises you, why?
I can't do this with you. I don't have the energy.
I heard labor is tiring work.
His brow creased as if something only just occurred to him.
Hey! I thought the baby wasn't due for another month.
Harper scratched her head.
Yeah, well, the deadline got pushed ahead by one of the horsemen.
Lou scowled.
Seriously? What happened? What did the...
His scowl morphed into a look of utter distaste, and he peered down at Asher.
Ew! He just farted right on my hand.
At that moment, the door again opened, and Meg strolled in, carrying a tray.
Visiting time is over, she declared. Mom and baby need rest.
She placed the tray on the nightstand, and the sense of coffee, biscuits and gravy, made Harper inwardly sigh happily. Meg carefully took Asher from a cooing Lou and handed him over to Harper.
There.
She then gave her the bottle of formula from the tray.
He'll be hungry.
Can't I feed him?
Begged Devon. Looking rather fierce, Meg shook her head and waved her hands at the others, urging them out of the room.
Time to leave.
Smiling at Harper, Chloe jerked her thumb toward Meg.
Does she know she's an employee?
Harper chuckled.
I wouldn't mess with her if I were you.
Come on, out. Come on, out. They need rest,
Meg insisted.
You can come back tomorrow.
Ignoring her, Lou spoke to Harper.
Wait, you haven't told me what happened with the horse person yet.
Jolene took his arm.
I'll tell you all about it. Meg's right. They need rest.
He shrugged her off.
I told you, I'm still not talking to you.
Saying their goodbyes, everyone filed out, apart from Knox, of course. Meg gave him a pointed look.
Sorry, Meg. You're not kicking me out, he told her, sinking into the rocking chair. I'm staying with my family.
The latter comment seemed to melt the woman. Smiling, Meg nodded and left the room, softly closing the door behind her.
He latched on with no problems this time, Harper told Knox, watching the baby drink the formula.
Knox leaned forward, bracing his elbows on the mattress.
That's good.
Ignoring the sound of his cell chiming, he added,
We need him to grow and get stronger.
Aren't you going to answer your phone?
It'll probably just be another of the primes. We've had dozens of congratulatory calls and emails from them.
Harper tipped her chin toward the phone that had been placed on the bedside cabinet.
Any text sent to my cell?
Knox checked.
A lot. There's one from Kellen,
he added, barely able to hide his annoyance.
Saying?
Knox opened the message.
It says, Congratulations. I know you'll be a better mom than ours is.
Relaxing slightly, Knox cupped her face and breezed his thumb along her lower lip.
He's right. You will be.
You wouldn't let me be anything else.
Knox lightly skimmed his hand over the baby's hat-covered head.
There are no messages from Lucien, so I'm guessing he doesn't yet know that Asher's been born.
I'll speak to him later.
Just be aware that if he calls our child the spawn of evil again, I will hurt him.
It would be the perfect excuse to finally get his hands on the son of a bitch.
I think you'll be surprised by his reaction.
How so?
He wasn't happy that I was pregnant, but now that Asher's actually a person, someone who he can see and touch, Lucien won't be such an ass. He likes babies. He just doesn't like caring for them because he's no good at it.
I'm very aware of that,
Knox rumbled, thinking of her upbringing.
I didn't understand his behavior before, and I especially don't understand it now that I have Asher. I know I could never abandon him. I know I could never do anything to harm him.
Do you really want to talk about Lucien?
No.
Knox touched Asher's little fist.
I'm more interested in knowing if you're going to give me what I asked for.
Knox.
I want to give you my name, baby. I want us all to share the same one.
Her mouth slowly curved.
So do I. You don't have to try to persuade me.
Satisfaction coursed through him, and he kissed her palm again.
Thank you, Harper Thorne.
That's gonna take some getting used to.
She looked at Asher.
So is being a parent. I still can't believe we made this little person.
Knox smiled.
He's perfect. Amazing. Just like his mom.
Just like his dad,
Harper corrected. Seeing that he'd drank half his bottle, Harper gently pulled it from his mouth and handed it to Knox. She then sat Asher upright, gently curving her hand around the front of his neck to hold him up while she rubbed his back.
"I can't get over how tiny he is," said Knox.
The baby's eyes opened, and his blue eyes bled to black. The demon stared out at him, and Knox's own demon rose to the surface for just a moment before both entities retreated. They had done it once before, shortly after Asher was born. Both times, Knox's demon chuckled. It was a sound that held a secret.
"I still think there's something my demon isn't telling us."
"Probably because this kid's as powerful as people expected he would be." That unnerved her in ways she didn't want to think about. "Do we hide that he's powerful so no one sees him as a threat?"
"We can only hide that for as long as we keep him here, where he can't be reached or seen. It's easy to sense all that power. I'm good with keeping him here for a little while."
"Me too. I don't think people will be suspicious of that, considering I was recently kidnapped by Nora, who wanted to take the baby." Knox rubbed her leg.
"I didn't think I'd ever have this. Someone who was mine. A child. A family. Didn't see it coming."
His face hardened as he added,
"I'll fight to the death to protect and keep what we have."
"So will I. And so will our demons. And if anyone out there decides to test us on that, they'll find out that there are much worse things than death." Knox had to smile.
"Have I mentioned that I love how bloodthirsty you are?"
"Once or twice. Never hurts to hear it again."
He chuckled. "You are bloodthirsty, Harper, and beautiful and smart and so fucking strong. There's no one like you, and I love that you belong to me."
"Then kiss me and shut up, because you're making me blush." Chuckling again, he did.
This concludes Ashes by Suzanne Wright, narrated by Kat Doucette. Copyright 2017 by Suzanne Wright.
Production copyright 2017 Hachette Audio.
This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Little Brown Book Group Limited and was produced in the year 2017 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright there too. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.